नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग from the ninth chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The chapter is titled as The Most Confidential Knowledge or Rajaguhya Yoga. So in this chapter, Krishna says, Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yadgyatva mokshase ashubha. He says, my dear Arjuna, now I am going to tell you the most confidential knowledge. Why? Because you hold no malice against me and you are non-envious by nature. Jnanam vijnana sahitam. And this guhyatamam jnanam is the knowledge of my knowledge of me, and vijnana sahitam, I will also tell you the means to realize me. Yad gyatva mokshase ashubhat. And knowing this knowledge, you will be freed from suffering. So, here, Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur mentions that what was described in the first five chapters, first six chapters, Gunibhuta Bhakti, is actually Guhya, the secret knowledge. And what was described in the 7th and 8th chapter, which is Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, which is Guhya Tama, Tara, are more secret. And what would be described in the 9th and 10th chapters, the middle two chapters of Bhagavad Gita is Guhya Tama, most confidential knowledge. Okay. So, he says that also in the next verse, it will be mentioned that this knowledge is avyayam. Avyayam means indestructible. So indestructible means only that which is, that knowledge which is beyond the three modes can be indestructible. And only the knowledge of pure devotional service is beyond the three modes. So this refers only to pure devotional service. So guhya tama knowledge is only pure knowledge of pure devotional service is only guhyatama, which is most confidential knowledge. Okay. And I am teaching this to you because you are not hostile or selfish, O Arjuna, which means this knowledge of bhakti should not be taught to those who are hostile and selfish. It should only be taught to those who are non-selfish or non-inimical. Okay. And I will teach this bhakti to you in such a way that it will culminate in direct realization of me. Vijnana sahitam. Like that. And then what is the nature of this most confidential knowledge? He says, it has seven characteristics. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram idamuttamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Dharmyam, Susukam, Kartum, Avyayam. Seven characteristics. Okay, so Raja Vidya means this is the king of all knowledge. So of the various different kinds of knowledge, this is the king of all knowledge. And Raja Guhyam means this is the most secret of all. Kevala Bhakti is the most secret of all. And Pavitram Idam Uttamam, it is most purifying because it acts as the atonement of all sins. Okay. And even Madhusudan Saraswati, who is a follower of Shankaracharya, he says that bhakti is, Shuddha Bhakti is mentioned here as Pavitram Idam Uttamam because it uproots all kinds of sinful reactions, including the cause of sins, which is, ignorance and sinful vasanas and sinful desires, and everything is destroyed. And Pratyakshavagamam, it is, the effects of bhakti are directly experienceable. భక్తి పరేషానుభవో విరక్తిర్ అన్యత్ర చేష త్రిక ఏక కాల. యునో వన్ కెన్ డైరెక్ట్లీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ పరేష అనుభవ అండ్ విరక్తి డైరెక్ట్లీ బై ప్రోగ్రెసింగ్ ఆన్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి. ఓకే, సో అండ్ ధర్మ్యం, ధర్మ్యం మీన్స్ డెఫినెట్లీ దోస్ ఆర్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ భక్తి ఆర్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ది పాత్ ఆఫ్ ధర్మ. ఈవన్ దో వన్ మే ఫెయిల్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ ఆల్ ది ధర్మాస్ ఆర్ రిలీజియస్ డ్యూటీస్ ఆఫ్ వర్ణాశ్రమ, బట్ స్టిల్ వన్ షుడ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దాట్ ప్రాక్టీషనర్స్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి ఆర్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ ధర్మ. ఇన్ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ పరో ధర్మ. అండ్ బికాస్ యథాతరోర్ మూల నిషేచన తృప్యంతి తత్స్కంద భుజోపశాఖ ప్రాణోపహారాచ యతేంద్రియాణం తథైవ సర్వ సర్వార్హణం అచ్యుత ఇజ్య. బై వర్షిపింగ్ కృష్ణ ఆల్ ది అదర్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ కర్మ జ్ఞాన యోగ ఎక్సెట్రా ఇస్ ఆటోమేటికలీ అకంప్లిష్ జస్ట్ యాస్ బై వాటరింగ్ ద రూట్ ఆఫ్ అ ట్రీ యునో ఆల్ ద బ్రాంచెస్ ఫ్లవర్స్ ఫ్రూట్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ గెట్స్ దేర్ దిస్ థింగ్ అండ్ సుసుఖం కర్తుం ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఈజీ టు ప్రాక్టీస్ యునో అన్లైక్ ది అదర్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్ పెయిన్స్ టు ద బాడీ వాయిస్ ఆర్ మైండ్ caused by intense renunciation and other such things. It involves pleasurable activities which involves the using of senses like hearing, chanting, etc. And avyayam, avyayam, it is eternal because bhakti is beyond the three gunas. Anything which is within the three gunas is perishable, so therefore avyayam indicates that the process is eternal, unlike karma and jnana which are temporary. Then he says, ashraddhadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa apraapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. So he says, oh afflictor of enemies, oh parantapa, asya dharmasya ashraddhadana purusha, those who do not have faith in this path of dharma which is bhakti, అప్రాప్యమాం, దే డు నాట్ అటైన్ మీ, మృత్యు సంసార వర్త్మని నివర్తంతే అండ్ దే రిమైన్ ఫిక్స్డ్ ఆన్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ ట్రాన్స్మైగ్రేషన్ అండ్ డెత్. పునరపి జననం పునరపి మరణం పునరపి జననీ జఠరే శయనం ఇహ సంసారే బహుదుస్తారే కృపయా పారే పాహి మురారే. ఈవన్ శంకరాచార్య సేస్ ద ఓన్లీ పర్సన్ హూ క్యాన్ డెలివర్ వన్ ఫ్రమ్ ద path of samsara is Murari, Krishna. So other than that, if one does not have faith in that path of bhakti, then ashraddhadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa apraapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani nivartante mam apraapya, they will not attain Krishna and they will remain in this path of samsara. So escape of samsara is possible only by the process of bhakti. Okay, so then he describes that now let me, I promise that I will give you knowledge of myself. So knowledge of myself starts with understanding my opulence, especially my opulence of creating, maintaining and destroying this material world. So my opulence of srishti, jagat srishti, that is the first thing which needs to be understood. In order to appreciate the more esoteric intimate pastimes of Krishna, first one has to understand Krishna's opulence, material opulence, opulence in maintaining this material world. So Krishna says, maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshu avasthitah. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat, maya tatam, I pervade, idam sarvam jagat, this whole universe, I pervade this whole universe, avyakta murtina, by my form which is invisible to the material senses, since I am the cause. So in the form of Paramatma, the Supreme Lord is actually, he pervades through this whole universe. Matstani sarva bhutani. All living entities are situated in me since I am their cause. Nacha aham teshu avastitaha. But I am not in them because I am completely detached. So, Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, in 7 verses starting from 4th to 10th, the Lord speaks of the knowledge of the powers of God which is required by devotees who are situated in Dasya Bhakti. Which means everyone, because Dasya is common in all kinds of devotion. So, this whole universe is pervaded by me, whose form is invisible to the senses, since I am the cause of the universe. So, avyakta. Avyakta means the form of the Lord as Paramatma is not visible to common eyes. Therefore, he is called as Avyakta Murtina. And as well, all the living entities are situated in me. Matstani Sarva Bhutani. Because I am their cause. But Nacha Aham Teshu Avastitaha. But I am not situated at all in these living entities because I am completely independent of everything. Okay. So, actually, if you see, this whole world functions in the form of mutual dependence. Practically, is the shopkeeper dependent on the customer, or is the customer dependent on the shopkeeper? What is your understanding? Is the shopkeeper dependent on the customer, or is the customer dependent on the shopkeeper? Both, right? It's a relationship of mutual dependence or interdependence. You know, both are dependent on each other. Is the doctor dependent on the patient, or the patient dependent on doctor? Shyamlal Prabhu, what do you think? Who is dependent on whom? Interdependent, right? So both, unless the doctor is doing free service. Even in that case, the doctor is still dependent on the patient, because if the patient does not come, the doctor will lose practice and he may forget his medical science. You know, there may be doctors who may work for free, but even they wish that patients come so that they remember their medical profession, and also they get the satisfaction of doing some service. So there is some element of mutual dependence, even though the extent of mutual dependence may not be the same. So in an emergency case, definitely a patient may be more dependent on the doctor than the doctor on the patient. Okay. And during regular times, it may be a case of more equal mutual dependence. Right. So, but nevertheless, in this world, every relationship is that of a mutual dependence. So if someone says that Matstani Sarva Bhutani, all the living entities are dependent on me, then one would naturally assume there must be the very fact that you are giving shelter to the other person, you must be getting something in return. The very fact that the Supreme Lord is giving shelter to the living entities, he must be getting something in return. There must be some level of mutual dependence. Krishna says, Nacha aham teshu avastitaha. I am not at all situated in them, which means I am not dependent on them. It is not a case of mutual dependence. I am totally independent. There is no question of mutual dependence here. Nacha aham teshu avastitaha. So this is the difference between Krishna's, you know, in any, you know, like the child is dependent on father. But definitely the father is also dependent on the child. So even though it may predominantly be seen as, oh, the child is dependent on the father. But what if someone else takes the child? The father will go mad. The father will go mad. So there is definitely some, in every relationship in this material world, there is some sense of mutual dependence. No one can ever say in this material world that I give shelter, but I have absolutely nothing. I don't expect anything in return. This cannot be the case. There must be some level of at least some satisfaction of some, you know, some social work or something like that. Some satisfaction will be there. But Krishna says, no, in my case, nacha aham teshu avasthitaha. But I am not at all situated in these entities because I am completely independent of everything. There is no mutual dependence. So in this way, Krishna tells about his relationship with the material world. One that is of complete, where every single living entity is dependent on him, but he is not dependent on any of them. Like that. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. I apologize for changing the time from 8 p.m. to 7 p.m. because 9:30 was getting a little too late for devotees. Already devotees were requesting, why don't you finish it even earlier than 9 o'clock? Some people, for those courses which were ending at 9 o'clock, people are requesting, can we end it a little early? I said, no, because these are weekly ones courses. At least 2 hours we should have. If we have to, you know, do proper justice for the Q&A sessions and also try to complete the portions, you know. So therefore, we decided that we will shift the Friday Bhagavad Gita class also from 7 to 9. And after the Thursday, in a few weeks, the Thursday sessions may also get over. And we may start a new course on Thursdays. And on Thursdays also, we will make it 7 to 9. So that uniformly, the morning sessions will be from 7:15 to 8:30. And the afternoon sessions will be 12 to 2. And the evening sessions will be 7 to 9, Monday to Friday, all days, all 5 days. You know, there will be some uniformity. So any day, you don't have to think, oh, today what time is the class? Or like that, you know, every day, Monday to Friday means, you know, morning, afternoon, evening, the classes will be exactly at the same time. We will try to bring in that uniformity. Anyway, so this is where we paused last week. We are going to continue this discussion further, where Krishna is going to narrate about his opulence, especially his relationship with this material world, because this relationship is very critical for a sadhaka to understand before we develop some level of appreciation of his pastimes with respect to his internal energy, that is in the spiritual world with his devotees. Okay, before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, we can take it right now. There is something in the chat box, let's see. Okay, there is one question. But Krishna does get pleasure with dealings with his devotees. Yeah. He does get pleasure in dealings with his devotees. This is true. This is true. So, that pleasure which he gets in his dealings with his devotees. Now, my question to you back is that what distinguishes the devotees from an ordinary jiva, which gives pleasure for Krishna in his dealings with the devotees? What differentiates the devotees from the ordinary living entities because of which the Lord feels very pleased? in dealings with the devotees? What is the difference? What distinguishes? What distinguishes the devotees from ordinary living entities because of which Krishna feels pleasure? Anyone would like to answer? Yes, Sita Komal Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu ji pranam. Prabhu ji, because devotees, jaise humne Bhagavat mein kiya tha abhi, devotees, they do it intentionally to please the Krishna. Whatever they want to do, they want to please Krishna intentionally, okay. Not accidentally.
Okay. So devotees want to please Krishna. Why do devotees want to please Krishna?
This is the way they can also get the pleasure. Because they understand they'll get the pleasure while pleasing Krishna.
If they don't get pleasure by serving Krishna, they will stop serving Krishna?
No, Prabhu, it's not like that.
They want to serve Krishna because that is the way they want to get pleasure, right? So if they don't get pleasure, what they will do?
They'll still keep serving Krishna only.
For what?
Because they know that's the only way they can get out of the material miseries and other issues. Even if they don't
get pleasure. They don't get out of the material miseries?
I think they have that much faith on Krishna, on Acharya. Everybody is assuring us about this only.
So, devotees serve Krishna because that is the way of getting out of material miseries?
And to please Krishna. I mean, even if devotees get miseries also, they think that's the benediction of Krishna only. There must be some good in that, what Krishna is doing to them. In any case, they know whatever their interaction with Krishna will be, they will always be benefited only. Because Krishna is the center. Whenever we do anything keeping Krishna center, then you are always beneficial. Tangibly, you may not able to see the benefits, but yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mahi. Basically, what differentiates the devotees from ordinary living entities because of which Krishna gets very attracted is devotion, right? Because if you remove devotion from the heart of devotees, then that devotee becomes a normal living entity, right? So what actually Krishna is getting attracted to is devotion, bhakti. And that bhakti is a part of Krishna only. That bhakti is a part of Krishna's antaranga shakti. Okay, so which manifests in the heart of the devotee. So what Krishna is getting actually attracted to is his own antaranga shakti. So which does not challenge his self-satisfied nature or Atma Rama nature. Atma Rama means self-satisfied. So that bhakti, which is what distinguishes the devotee from any other ordinary living entity, is a part of Krishna's antaranga shakti. So therefore it does not challenge Krishna's Atma Rama nature. Yes, even though the devotee may be in the material world, what the devotee possesses in his heart, which distinguishes the devotee from the ordinary living entities, that is a part of the spiritual world. So therefore, even though Krishna may be attached or attracted to the devotees of the material world, still this principle of that nachaham teshu avasthitaha, I am completely detached from them. I am not in them since I am completely detached. That principle holds good. Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share as and? Yes, Shiva Kumar.
Hare Krishna. Dhanavad. Prabhu, how do we see this understanding, Prabhu, in the light of Krishna's glorification for devotees? One example that came to my mind, Prabhu, Ambarish Maharaj pastime, where he says, "I am under the control of my devotees," and so on and so forth, Prabhu. So.
That's what I've explained all the while till now, that I have explained the same thing, right? That's what I said. So he said, I am controlled by my devotee, right? He does not say, I am controlled by any jivatma. So what distinguishes, what is it that the devotee has which an ordinary jivatma does not have? What?
That's you talked about the devotion to me.
Devotion. And that devotion is a part of Krishna's Antaranga Shakti only. It is a part of Krishna's self. So what Krishna, even though the devotee may be in the material world, what Krishna is actually getting attracted to is his own internal potency only. When the internal potency is not there in Ambarish Maharaj's heart, the Sudarshan Chakra will not be chasing Durvasa Muni. And the demon that the Durvasa Muni had created actually killed Ambarish Maharaj. So the only reason why Durvasa Maharaj had to go through so much difficulties was because Ambarish Maharaj was a devotee, and he is considered a devotee because he has devotion in his heart, which is a part of Krishna's Antaranga Shakti, part of his self. Is that clear, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, there is another question. But Krishna is sad and not happy when devotees go away from him. Also, then there will be no personal relationship between devotees and Krishna. If we say he is attracted to his energy only. No, he is attracted to his energy. He is attracted to the possessor of his energy. He is attracted to the possessor of his internal energy. That is what, just like the example that is given is, a person, he has his life air within his body. Prana is there. But when that person, let's say that person is a flute player, if he takes up his flute and blows that air into that flute, then that air comes out of as a sweet sounding music, which gives great pleasure to the flute player, which gives great pleasure to the flute player. Okay. But what is giving him pleasure is his own air. His own air is giving him pleasure. Okay. So therefore, otherwise, the Shastras say that on one hand, the Shastras say that the Supreme Lord is Atma Rama. Atmaramam Purnakamam Nijalabena Nityada. Shastras Bhagavatam says that the Supreme Lord is Atmaram, self-satisfied. On the other hand, the same Bhagavatam says, Bhaktya Tutosha Bhagavan Gajayutapaya. The Lord is satisfied by bhakti. Okay. So now, which is true? Atmarama means one who does not want anything external to feel satisfied. He is completely self-satisfied. So the same scripture which says that the Lord is self-satisfied also says that the Lord is pleased with bhakti. So now, which of these two statements is true? The Acharyas say both the statements are true. How do you reconcile? Because Atmarama means he is self-satisfied. He should not become satisfied by anything external. So now if you say that he is satisfied by bhakti, then this contradicts it. Acharya said, no, it does not contradict it, because He is satisfied by bhakti, and bhakti is not extrinsic to Krishna. It is very much intrinsic to Krishna. Okay. So, in that whole... So in this whole example of the flute player and the air and the flute, actually, Krishna is the flute player, the jiva is the flute, and the air which blows into that flute is bhakti, is Krishna's antaranga shakti. So, when Krishna's antaranga shakti enters the flute, it comes out as sound, which is bhakti. And that bhakti pleases Krishna. But that bhakti is a part of his own antaranga shakti. So therefore, to say that the Supreme Lord is pleased by bhakti does not challenge his Atmarama nature, actually. But there are so many flutes around. There are so many flutes who may not be willing to... There may be so many bamboos which may not be willing to transform that sound, that air, into a beautiful sound which would give pleasure to the flute player. Those are the ordinary souls. Okay. So those special souls, those very fortunate souls who by the fortune of coming in touch with great devotees, you know, are willing to receive those holes in that bamboo and become an instrument in the hands of Krishna, so that Krishna can blow his own antaranga shakti into them, and the flute is willing to convert that antaranga shakti into bhakti, which can give pleasure to Krishna only. So therefore, is Krishna pleased with the devotees? Absolutely. Krishna is definitely pleased with the devotees. But there is a question in the chat box. There is a question in the chat box. Sonar Saki Mataji asks, if we say he is attracted only to his energy and not to the devotee, it sounds very awkward. No, he is attracted to his, you know, that this is just a way of looking at it. Like, say, for example, you have a son. Okay. You have a son, but what, and you are very much attached to your son, Sankarshan. But ultimately, what is it that differentiates Sankarshan from any other boy of Mumbai? Their body is also made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Your son's body is also made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Practically everything is same. But what distinguishes the two is the love that is shared between the two of you, you know, and a relationship of son and mother. So in one sense, if you see, it can be told that you are just attached to that emotion. You are not attached to that person. In one sense, it is correct. But in reality, you are actually attached to that person because of that emotion, because he possesses something which belongs to you. Similarly, Krishna, it's not that Krishna is only attached to his energy. But Krishna is attached to the possessor of that energy, the devotee who possesses that energy. So there is nothing wrong in that. It does not sound very impersonal, actually. It may sound little impersonal in the beginning, but actually it is not so impersonal. It is very personal, actually. Okay, there is one more thing in the chat box. If Krishna is Atmaram, what motivates him to be there with all the living entities as Paramatma? Why does he make all efforts to bring them back to the spiritual world? This is a very good question. It is just like the flute player may have a desire to possess more flutes. So he has no attachment to the bamboos per se. He has no attachment to the bamboos per se, but he definitely wishes that if those bamboos would become nice flutes, if those bamboos would become nice flutes which he can utilize for his own pleasure, then the Lord will be very pleased. So the Lord trying to does he make all efforts to bring them back to the spiritual world? Actually, no. If he wants, he does not have to do any effort. If Krishna wants, in a moment, he can make every single living entity into his devotee and take them back to the spiritual world. For Krishna, he does not have to make any effort. In a moment, all the unlimited number of living entities, the millions and trillions of universes, in a second can become devotees, perfect pure devotees. Krishna has to desire, that's all. So therefore, actually Krishna is not making any serious effort, because Krishna does not want to infringe upon the free will of the living entity. So therefore, he is not making any serious effort. But he definitely likes good flutes with which he can play. And he loves his flutes. And he loves his flute makers also. His flute makers are the other devotees who have experienced the pleasure of being blown by Krishna, being played by Krishna. So the flute makers are the devotees. They go and pick up bamboos, drill holes in them and make them flutes and hand it over to Krishna. So when the bamboo becomes flute, Krishna is very pleased. Even though Krishna can in a moment convert all the bamboos into flutes, but Krishna does not want to do that. So Krishna has left that job to his flute maker devotees. They will go pick up bamboos, make them into flute and offer it to Krishna. Then Krishna is very pleased. So Krishna is not making actually any serious effort to go and change all the living entities into devotees, because Krishna does not have to do any serious effort. All that he has to do is just desire. In a moment, every living entity can become a devotee. Okay. Anything else before we move forward? Okay, if there is none, let us continue our discussion. Let's see what further Krishna says. In the next verse, he says, Nachamatstani bhutani pashyame yoga maishwaram bhutabrinna cha bhutasto mamatma bhuta bhavanah. In the previous verse, he said, Matstani sarva bhutani. All living entities are situated in me. And he says the exact opposite in the next verse. He says, Nacha matstani bhutani. Matstani sarva bhutani is what he said in 9.4. Now he adds a negative prefix na. Cha and. And mat. Na. And bhutani, all the living entities, na matstani, they are not in me. You see here. And the living beings are not in me. In the previous verse, he said, the living beings are in me. And in the next verse, he says, oh, the living beings are not in me. Pashyame yoga maishwaram. See this inconceivable power of my body. this has to be understood. This is little tricky because this seems completely contradictory. On one hand, he says, all living entities are in me. All living entities are not in me. It is like, probably this sounds more like, when I have to come to your house from this street, should I turn right or left? You say right. And they say, I'm sorry, not right. Actually turn left, you know. So if I have to tell something exactly opposite, then probably your first statement is a mistake. Okay. Because it cannot be turn right, turn left. You know, either you turn right or you turn left. You know, it cannot be both, right? So unless it's a circular thing. Okay. Unless it is a circular thing, okay. Something like this, you know, there is this street which is leading to this circular thing and your house is here exactly. So you can either turn left and come this way to the house, or you can turn right and come this way to the house. So, but this is not something like what Krishna is speaking here. In the previous verse, he said, all living entities are in me. Matstani sarva bhutani. In this verse, he says, Nachamatstani Bhutani. All living entities are not in. Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. See the inconceivable power of my body. Mama Atma, my mind, Bhuta Brit, even though I maintain them, Bhuta Bhavana, even though I am protecting them, Mama Atma Nacha Bhutasto. My mind is not in them. Okay. My mind is not in them. So, now my question to you is, why do you, okay, can someone answer this question? If you are a father or a mother, you can please choose, raise your hands and answer this question. If you have a child, okay, of course, if you are a father or a mother, you can choose to answer this question. Why do you maintain and protect your child? Can someone answer your question? Answer this question. Raise your hands and answer this question. Why do you maintain or protect your child? Are there no father or mother? Yes, Kesha Priyamata.
Prabhuji, first thing is, it's my duty, because it is the reason for him to come out is like it is me, so I have to take care of him for sure. And next is love for him, Prabhuji.
Okay. So, next question. Why do you not maintain and protect the other children of your city?
Because it is not my duty assigned, no, Prabhuji. Like,
it is not your duty. There is no assigned duty, there is no attachment, and there is no love.
Yes, Prabhuji. Correct.
Correct, ma'am.
Correct, so, Prabhuji.
In this world, does anyone know of, or you can tell about yourself, where there is no duty, no love, no attachment, but you are still maintaining or protecting someone? Is there any example of anyone here? You can be honest. You don't have to say, concur with me. You can actually disagree with me and say, yes, I don't have any attachment, any love, any duty, but still I maintain and protect. Is there anyone here like that? Okay, someone says, as a social welfare. As a social welfare means, which means you either feel a sense of duty towards the society, or you have some attachment towards the society, or some love towards the society. Without that, I don't think anyone engages in social welfare activities also. Right? So, in this world, if someone is maintaining or protecting something, then it is only possible if they invest at least a part of their heart or their mind in that person. You know, I am protecting my son means at least a part of my heart is consumed by my affection for that son, by my responsibility, by my feeling of responsibility towards my son. Without that feeling of responsibility or attachment or love, I would not just simply maintain or protect anything or anyone in this world. So therefore, Krishna says here, Mama Atma Nachabhutasto, my mind is not in them. Even though I protect them and I maintain them. This is Krishna, where he diligently creates this universe, diligently maintains it, and destroys it. But Mama Atma Nacha Bhutastho, but his mind is not in them. So if our mind is not there in something, we will certainly not do it unless, you know, we are held responsible for it. Even if we are held responsible for it, I have to study what to do. Otherwise, my parents will not give me any money. My parents will create a hell for me. So for that, even if children go to school, they will not study well, because they cannot apply their mind to that. Okay. But Krishna says, my mind is not in them, but still I very diligently maintain them and I very diligently protect them. This is Krishna. So this is what Purusha Sukta says. What is that? Atyatishtat dashangulam. What is that? What is the beginning of that paragraph of Purusha Sukta? Anyone knows Purusha Sukta? Can you tell? Atyatishtat dashangulam. What is the beginning of that paragraph? Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapada Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva. Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva Atyatishtat dashangulam. It is mentioned. So the Lord enters the universe as Paramatma and Atyatishtat Dashangulam. He enters the universe and Atyatishtat Dashangulam, but he exits it and stays at least 10 fingers out of it. And the acharyas explain, what is the meaning of Atyatishtat Dashangulam? The Lord enters and exits and stays 10 fingers apart. He says, the meaning is that the Lord is not attached to this world. The Lord is not attached to this world. Even though he maintains them and protects them, but his mind is not in them. Nachamatstani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram. Okay. All the living beings are not in me. See the inconceivable power of my body. So let's see what the acharyas have to say about this. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, even though everything is situated in me, they are not situated in me, since I am completely independent of everything. Okay. What do you mean? Even though everything is situated in me, they are not situated in me. What do you mean? Since I am completely independent of them. But one may say, but this is contrary to what you have said before, that you are pervading the universe and that you are the shelter of the universe. You said that you are pervading the universe and you are the shelter of the universe. The previous verse you said. So in response to this, Krishna says, see my supernatural power, pashyame yoga maishwaram, my extraordinary skill in doing what cannot be done. my extraordinary skill in doing what cannot possibly be done by anyone of this material world. And see also something else which is astonishing. Even though I am the maintainer of all the living beings in this universe and the protector of them all, I, in my spiritual body, I am not situated in them. Okay. Mama Atma na Bhutastha. Bhutabrin nacha bhutastho mamatma bhuta bhavana. Mama Atma nacha bhutastho. So he says that even though I am the maintainer of all the living beings in this universe and the protector of them all, in my spiritual body, I am not situated in them. Okay. Since in the Lord, there is no difference between the body and the soul, the expression my body is employed in the manner of the expression of the head of Rahu. Of course, Rahu is only head. There is nothing because below the head has been chopped off. So Rahu is, you know, only head. So the head of Rahu means Rahu only. So similarly, when the Lord says my body, it refers to Krishna only. So he says, even though Rahu and his head are non-different, as Krishna and his body are non-different, the possessive case is used making some distinction. Okay. The meaning is this. What is the meaning? The jivas accept a body, protect it, developing attachment to it and remain in that body. When the jiva is remaining in a body, it indicates attachment. When the jiva is protecting that body, it indicates attachment. When the jiva is maintaining the body, it indicates attachment. Okay. And the jiva is not protecting and maintaining any other body because there is no attachment and the jiva is not in it. So what are the symptoms of a jiva not present in a particular body? The symptom is that the jiva does not show any attachment to it. And the jiva does not protect it. And the jiva does not maintain it. Okay. So now if you see, Krishna protects and maintains this universe and the living entities in it. This shows that Krishna is in them or the living entities are in him. But at the same time, Krishna has no attachment to it. Nachamatstani bhutani. Because the lack of attachment indicates that Krishna is not in them. So seeing protection and maintenance, one can come to the conclusion that Krishna is in them. But seeing absolute detachment, one can conclude that Krishna is not in them. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. See this mystic potency of mind. Why is it so mystical? It is so mystical because in this world, you don't see protection and maintenance existing in a person who is completely detached from that particular object. No single person in this world would maintain and protect something without any kind of attachment. But Krishna does it. That is the meaning of matstani sarva bhutani nachamatstani bhutani. How simultaneously every living entity can be in Krishna and at the same time not be in Krishna. So not being in Krishna indicates Krishna's detachment. Being in Krishna indicates Krishna only maintains and protects them. So Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. Look at this inconceivable potency of mind. Why is it inconceivable? Why is it inconceivable? Because this is not seen in this material world. This is not seen in this material world. Anyone maintains or protects something only if there is some attachment. But Krishna is doing not one jiva, but all jivas. Not all jivas of one universe, but all jivas of all universes. Krishna has no attachment. Nachamatstani bhutani. But still he maintains and protects them. Matstani sarvabhutani. How? Pashyame yogamaishwaram. Look at my mystic potency. Why is it so mystical? Because this is not seen in any living entity, in any species of this material world. So, inconceivable means not understandable. Why would something not be understandable? If we have never seen it or experienced it in this world, then it would not be understandable. If you have never seen and experienced anything, we would not be able to understand it. Because such a thing in this world no one has ever seen, no one would ever see, and no one would ever experience. Therefore, this statement for eternity is Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram. Look at this inconceivable potency of mine, that I am able to protect and maintain things of which I have absolutely no attachment. Okay, like that. So, Krishna continues, but even though I accept all the living beings and protect them, even though they are my material body consisting of all creatures, I am not situated there because I am not attached. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as that? Okay, if there is no discussion points, let us continue. Now, in the previous verse, Krishna says, Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. Just look at this inconceivable potency of mine. But then, in order to make this inconceivable potency conceivable, he gives an example in the next verse. He says, Yatakashastito nityam vayur sarvatra go mahan tata sarvani bhutani matstani tyupadharaya upadharaya. O Arjuna, please understand. Yata, just as vayuhu, just as the wind, nityam akashastitaha, even though he is situated in ether, sarvatra go mahan, he goes everywhere by my support. Tata, in the same way, sarvani bhutani, in the same way, all the living beings, matsthani, are supported by me alone. Okay. So what is the example that he gives? If you see, in this material world, ether or the sky provides the limiting space for air to move. That is the ceiling. So air can move within that ceiling of sky. So in one sense, if you see, the sky supports the air. But at the same time, air moves within that sky anywhere it wants. So on one hand, if you see, matstani sarvabhutani, the sky is supporting the air, but at the same time, the sky is not supporting the air also. The sky is completely detached from the air. So he says, look at it. The same way I support the living entities without getting attached to them. So even though the sky is supporting the air, but still the sky is not attached to the air. In the same way, I am supporting the living entities, but I am not attached to them. Now, Arjuna says, oh, really? But you just said, Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram, look at my inconceivable potency. But now you have given an example to make this inconceivable thing very much conceivable. So now, how is it inconceivable? How is your potency inconceivable? So Krishna says, oh no, it is still inconceivable. How? You just gave an example to explain it. He says, look, the sky is inanimate, dead matter. Air is inanimate, dead matter. Dead matter anyways does not have any attachment to dead matter. Right? So, therefore, even though the sky is giving shelter to air, but because of it being dead matter, it has no attachment to air, even though it is giving shelter to air. But amongst conscious beings, whenever there is an observation of shelter, that you always see attachment along with that. Amongst conscious beings of this universe, wherever shelter is seen, there is some level of attachment. Wherever protection is seen, there is some level of attachment. Wherever maintenance is seen, there is some level of attachment. Of course, unconscious dead matter does not have any attachment. Even though, if you say, you know, you see, I will place a glass of water on the table. The table is giving shelter to that glass of water. But the table is not attached to the glass of water. Yes, because both glass of water and table are inanimate objects. Amongst inanimate objects, you may see one inanimate object giving shelter to another inanimate object without any attachment. But amongst conscious beings, this is never seen. Wherever there is an observation of shelter or maintenance or protection, there is always attachment seen. There is only one conscious being where this is not seen, and that is me. You know, I give shelter, I give protection, I give maintenance, but I have no attachment. That is why it is Yoga Maishwaram, inconceivable potency. So he gives this example. So therefore, even though I can give an example to explain this particular aspect, that still does not make this very conceivable. Because wind and sky are inanimate objects. Wind and sky are inanimate objects, whereas amongst animate objects, this is never seen. Okay. Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur writes, he says, even though the living beings are in me, who remain detached and independent, they are not in me. And though I am in them, I am not in them. An example is given in this verse to illustrate. The wind, the wind remains always situated in the ether, which has a nature of being detached. Okay. So even though the wind is situated in ether, the ether is always detached. Okay. The wind has a nature of being restless, going everywhere, sarvatraga, and is great in size, mahan. The wind can, whatever is the size of the container that you put, the wind can occupy the whole container. So therefore, wind is mahan, all-pervading. And sarvatraga, it can go anywhere. It has a restless nature. Because of the detachment of the ether, the wind is situated in it, but not situated in it. The ether, even though in the wind, is not in the wind because of detachment. Okay. So, when Krishna says, they all are in me, it means I protect them, I maintain them, I give them shelter. But they are not in me. Meaning, I am not attached to them. Similarly, all things such as ether, which are great in dimension and are moving everywhere, are situated in me, but are not situated in me, since I also have the nature of detachment. Okay, since I also have the nature of detachment. Please consider and accept this fact. So he gives an example of detachment by giving the example of ether. Ether is Krishna. Wind are the living entities and things of this world. Just like ether, even though is pervading, even though the wind is situated in ether, but the ether is detached from them. Similarly, even though all living entities are protected and maintained by Krishna, but he is detached from them. So, but Arjuna may say, but you have said that your powers are inconceivable. Pashyame yogamaishwaram. How then can those powers remain inconceivable if they are just like common ether and wind? Giving a very observable example of wind and ether, you have explained one of your qualities. So how is it inconceivable to us anymore? It is very much conceivable. He says, this is explained as follows. He says, ether has detachment because it is unconscious by its very nature. Amongst conscious beings, however, detachment does not exist anywhere except in the Lord. Even though he at once contains everything and dwells in everything. He dwells in everything as Paramatma, but still detached. Upadrashta Anumanta. Upadrashta Anumanta. Okay, like a judge. Like a judge is, he neutrally is there. He is neutrally there. He is neither attached to the culprit, nor is he attached to the victim. Okay. So, he neutrally gives the judgment. But then again, this has become, but again you may say that, oh, this example is the example of a conscious being, judge. The judge is neither attached to the victim nor attached to the culprit, but he gives judgment. Okay? Which means the culprit's maintenance either inside the jail or outside the jail depends on the judge. But still the judge is detached. And the judge is a conscious person. So does this not explain? No, it still does not explain. The judge will not pass the judgment if he does not get his salary. He may not be attached to the victim or the culprit, but he is definitely attached to the salary. But like that, Krishna has no attachment. Just like the ether has absolutely no attachment. But still that does not explain, because ether is inanimate. Krishna is a conscious living entity. So amongst conscious living entities, you never see these qualities coexisting. Detachment and maintenance, protection, shelter, etc. These qualities cannot coexist amongst conscious beings. So he says, this fact establishes that the inconceivability of the Lord. In any case, this example comparing ether to the Lord is given for the understanding of the common man. Just to give some understanding. But one should understand that ether is still inanimate. Ether is not animate. But Krishna is animate. So therefore, this quality of detachment and protection and maintenance coexisting in Krishna is definitely inconceivable for ordinary living entities. Inconceivable because it is beyond their experience. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add? Okay, there is a question in the chat box. Is there any takeaway for the jiva from knowing this Aishwarya of the Lord to practice detachment in our lives? Is there a takeaway? No. So the takeaway for the jiva, this is a very good question. Please hear carefully. What is the takeaway for the jiva in understanding this potency of Krishna? Okay. So, the takeaway is that even though there are many qualitative similarities between Krishna and the jiva, which Prabhupada often calls as qualitative oneness. But actually, there is no qualitative oneness, absolute qualitative oneness between the jiva and Krishna, because the jiva has only 50 qualities and Krishna has 64 qualities. Even the 50 qualities in the jiva is infinitesimal, but Krishna has 64 qualities in infinite quantity. So even if you see, qualitatively, the jiva is not one with Krishna, but somewhat similar to Krishna. So, even though there is qualitative similarity between Krishna and the jiva, there are 50 qualities in common, but still, the 14 qualities which are not there in jiva, a Vaishnava focuses on those extraordinary qualities which the jiva does not possess, but Krishna possesses. He focuses on that. Why? Because jivera swarupoi krishnera nityadas. Because the constitutional position of the jiva is to serve Krishna, and a servant will be inspired to serve the master only when he sees the extraordinary qualities that the master possesses, which he does not possess. Okay. So therefore, even though there is, there are qualities which jiva also possesses and Krishna also possesses, but when the jiva comes to know of the extraordinary qualities which the jiva can never possess, but only Krishna possesses, it is supposed to enhance his desire to serve that extraordinary personality. So it enhances the service attitude. Okay. So this is the takeaway. The takeaway is that this is an inconceivable potency. What to speak of exhibiting this potency? The jiva cannot even conceive of this potency. So the master whom we are trying to serve is a very eligible master, because his powers are not even conceivable to the jiva. So therefore, the takeaway for the jiva in this is that we have a very eligible master. So we should be inspired to serve this master. He is so eligible that his powers cannot even be understood by us, jivas. Therefore, this master is not an ordinary master of this material world. He is not like any other fallible master of this material world. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose potencies, the living entity, what to speak of emulating or imitating, the living entity cannot even understand. Inconceivable. That is the takeaway for the jiva. Is that clear? Is it clear? Or is there? Okay. Yes. Shiva Kumar.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, yes. One follow-up question, Prabhu. I got the point on the inspiration for service itself, Prabhu. But if I am not able to be detached from my material attachments in this world, then is that also not an hindrance in the service itself? In that sense, I thought, should we be?
Maybe. It may be, but it has nothing to do with this verse. Maybe, but it has, yeah, detachment is important, but detachment you will develop in proportion to your attachment to Krishna. So to the extent you perform your devotional service and develop that attachment to Krishna, to that extent you will become, will be able to detach yourself from things of this world.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Okay. There is a comment or question here. Swartha gatim hi Vishnu. When one is attached to Krishna, then that is real attachment. Can it be said like this also? Yeah, that is true. Okay. If there are no further discussion points, questions or comments, we will move on to the next verse. Krishna says further, Sarvabhutani Kaunteya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam Kalpakshaye Punastani Kalpadau Visrijamyaham. O Kaunteya, he's telling, while being detached from this world, everything of this world, the jivas of this world, the things of this world, the objects of this world, O son of Kunti, Sarvabhutani, all things, all beings, Mamikam Prakritim Yanti, will enter my Prakriti. All things will enter my Prakriti Kalpakshaye. All things will enter my Prakriti at the time of destruction. Kalpadav, and at the time of creation, Punastani Visrijamyaham, again I create everything. So this further describes Krishna's detachment. Because if someone is very eager to make something, then he will not be very eager to dismantle it. He will not be very eager to dismantle it. There will always be, you know, even though, you know, if someone has spent all their, you know, hard-earned money in constructing a house. Okay. Then, even though if after spending 30, 35 years in that house, let's say the house has become very old and it has to be, you know, destroyed and reconstructed, redevelopment. You know, there may be some eagerness, oh, new house is going to come. But the day the bulldozers come and start breaking the house in which one has stayed for 35 years, you know, definitely it will break the heart. And if we are told, okay, you drive this bulldozer and you break it down, you know, we will never be able to do it because this is a place which we have stayed for so many years. But Krishna diligently does it. He creates this universe. He's not, you know, he's not talking about constructing one small 1 BHK or 2 BHK apartment. You know, this is unlimited number of millions and trillions of universes, fully functional universes. Krishna creates, Krishna destroys. Okay. Kalpakshaye. All things will enter my Prakriti at the time of destruction, and at the time of creation, again I create everything. So Arjuna says, okay, I understand that all these things which can presently be seen are situated in you. But at the time of destruction, where will they go? Okay, now creation is there and they are all situated in you. We understand. You are maintaining them. But after destruction, who is going to protect them, maintain them? Where will they go? So this verse answers. All these things will merge into my energy called Prakriti, composed of the three gunas. At the end of the period of destruction, at the time of creation, I will again create everything in detail. So which means, ultimately after merging in Prakriti, that Prakriti along with the jivas also merges into the body of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. So even, so this is not talking about only the time of creation when Krishna maintains and protects the living entities. Even after the dissolution of this universe, Krishna in the form of Mahavishnu is only the shelter of all these living entities and dead matter. Everything merges into the body of Mahavishnu. Then he says, Prakritim swama vashtabhya visrijami puna punaha bhuta gramamimam krishnam avasham prakritir vashat. So he says, swam prakritim avashtabhya. Swam prakritim avashtabhya. Avashtabhya means being situated in. Being situated in prakriti which belongs to me. Swam prakritim avashtabhya. Being situated in prakriti which belongs to me. Visrijami punah punaha. I create again and again. Bhuta gramam imam krishnam. All the living entities I create again and again. Avasham. Who are all dependent on me. Prakritir vashat. Being under the control of their natures caused by their previous actions. So, when it is time for dissolution, they all enter into my prakriti and subsequently enter into my body. And when it is time for creation, I only manifest all the living entities who are all dependent on me, in the sense who are dependent on the gunas, who are controlled by the gunas. They are under the control of the gunas, which are existing in the form of their vasanas or their of their nature. So then the question arises, but how can you create if you are detached and are unchangeable by nature? Okay. So the creator has to have some attachment to the product that he is creating. So the question is, if you are detached, how can you create? And the creator actually undergoes some transformation by creating. Right? If, let's say, if some guests are coming home, okay, and the mother has to cook food, okay. So, the mother is creating food, but the mother will become tired after that. Some vikara will happen. Some transformation will happen. If the food does not come out well, there is this transformation of disappointment, anger. If the food comes out very well and the guests appreciate it, the creator undergoes the transformation of joy, exaltation. But if they like it too much and start eating too much, then there is also the emotion of fear. Will the people who will eat in the next batch, will they get that food or not? So the creator undergoes all kinds of emotions or transformations when he is creating something, right? So here the question is, but how can you create if you are detached? And how can you create if you are unchangeable by nature? Because the Shastras say that you are nirvikar. You know. So no creator is in this material world is nirvikar. You know. That he will undergo some vikar on a physical level, on a mental level, on an emotional level. Any creator of anything will undergo some transformation. So how can you be the creator and simultaneously be nirvikar? This is the question asked by Arjuna to Krishna. Okay. So in this verse, Krishna answers this question. Krishna says, by being situated in my energy, by being situated in my energy, swam prakritim avashtabhya, I again create all living entities who are dependent on action and other factors, since they are under the control of their own natures, which are caused by actions of previous lives. So he says that, first thing, they are created not directly by me, but they are created by my energy. So, and that energy is my Bahiranga Shakti. So, it is the transformation of my energy by which the creation happens. So, this is called as Shakti Parinama Var. Shakti Parinama Var. So, the Mayavadis, their theory is Vivartavad. So, their argument is that this material universe is this material universe must be illusory. Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. This Jagat must be Mithya, false. Why? Okay. They say this Jagat must be Mithya because the cause of the universe is the Supreme Lord. Okay. He is the cause of the universe. If he is the cause of the universe and the universe is the effect, then the cause must undergo some transformation to become the effect, right? So, the cause must undergo some transformation to become the effect. Otherwise, but the Shastras say that the Supreme Lord is Nirvikar. He does not undergo any transformation. Okay? So therefore, if the statement that the Supreme Lord is Nirvikara has to be true, then one should understand that the material universe must be false or illusory. Because if you say that the material universe is created by the Supreme Lord, then definitely the source of that creation must undergo some transformation. Okay, but the very fact that the Supreme Lord, the Shastras say that the Supreme Lord does not undergo any transformation indicates that this material universe must be false. But Krishna says, no. He says that, so the Vaishnava's understanding is Shakti Parinama Vad. Krishna does not undergo transformation, but his external energy can undergo transformation for the manifestation of this universe. So Krishna creates through the agency of his Bahiranga Shakti, his external energy. So by the transformation of his external energy, even without his undergoing any transformation, the material universe can manifest. So therefore, this is called as Shakti Parinama Vad. Shakti, energy, Parinama, transformation, Vada, theory. The theory of how the universe is created through the transformation of Krishna's external energy. So which means, just because you have the universe, therefore, the source of that universe must have undergone a transformation. So, if the source of the universe is the Supreme Lord must have undergone some transformation, is not a very logical understanding. So, he says that the Supreme Lord does not undergo any transformation, but the Supreme Lord's external energy, that is undergoing transformation. Yes. So that is what the Ishopanishad invocation prayer says. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Okay. Even though the Supreme Lord is complete, whole, and even though unlimited complete universes emanate from him, still he remains complete whole. So how is it that the material universe is created by the Supreme Lord, but the Supreme Lord does not undergo transformation? Because he is not the direct cause. The direct cause is Krishna's external energy. His external energy undergoes transformation for the manifestation of this universe. And this transformation of Krishna's external energy is described in Bhagavatam. Kalad gunavyatikaraha parinamat swabhavataha karmano janma mahataha purushadishtitatabhu. You know, how when the glance of Mahavishnu falls on Prakriti, the Prakriti undergoes all kinds of transformations or parinama. The word that is commonly used, which we are discussing currently in our morning second canto Bhagavatam discussion, is also is vikurvanad. Tamasastu vikurvanad, rajasastu vikurvanad, mahatastu vikurvanad, like that. So it is the material energy which undergoes transformation to manifest this universe. So this is Shakti Parinamavad. The Lord does not undergo any transformation. So Arjuna asks this question, but how can you create if you are detached? And how can you create if you are unchangeable by nature? Because for you to create something, you cannot create something out of nothing. You know, for something to be created, something has to change. Like if you have to make clay out of pot, clay has to transform itself to pot. You cannot say, I have 1 kilogram clay and I'm going to make a 1 kilogram pot, but at the end of it, I should have 1 kilogram clay also, 1 kilogram pot also. That cannot happen. The clay has to transform into pot. But since the Shastras say that you are unchangeable by nature, how can a pot be created without your getting transformed? Krishna says, oh, I don't get transformed, but my external energy gets transformed. Prakriti gets transformed. This is called as Shakti Parinamavad. Okay, therefore, the argument that Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya, the universe has to be false because the Lord does not undergo any transformation, is not a very valid argument that is made by the Mayavadis. So he says that by situated in my prakriti, in my energy, I again and again create all entities who are dependent on action and other factors, since they are under the control of their own natures, which are caused by the actions of previous lives. Okay, like that. Prakritim swam avashtabhya visirjami punah punah bhuta grama mimam kritsnam avasham prakritir vasha. So it is only my prakriti which transforms to manifest this universe. So I don't undergo any transformation there. Like that. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as I am? Yes, Keshav Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Prabhuji, like this can be explained only with Achintya Beda Abhedana, Prabhuji, because in one sense there is no difference between the Lord and his energy. If energy is transforming, means that means it is his energy only, no Prabhuji. Like it can be explained only with that, no Prabhuji.
Yeah.
If someone is not accepting that, then they cannot accept this. Achintya Beda Abheda Tattva.
Yeah, definitely there is Achintya, because you cannot say that I don't undergo any transformation, but
only my energy undergoes.
True. So, therefore, this is not like completely conceivable also.
Correct.
Because energy and the energetic are connected.
Mm.
But here, in the case of Krishna, this is Bahiranga Shakti. But Bahiranga Shakti is also his Shakti only. So some kind of transformation he may have to undergo, but no. That is why Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. That is why there is definitely this inconceivability in terms of Krishna. You know, his energy may undergo transformation, but he may not undergo transformation.
And moreover, Prabhuji, Mayavadis, they don't even accept that he has attributes energy. Like energy itself. So definitely they cannot accept, however we explain, Prabhuji.
Yeah, correct. That is true. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, of course, we are not telling this to explain to Mayavadis, because Mayavadis will never be able to accept because they lack the Sukriti. So they will not be able to understand this logic at all. Yeah, that is true. Anything else anyone would like to share as add? I thought Sonar Sakhi Mataji had her hands up. Do you have any question, Mataji?
Prabhuji, I was not understanding their point that why they are thinking that why the question is that you are not unchangeable, you are unchangeable, and then why the creation, like why that is needed to create something. But then with the discussion I could understand that they are not when you don't accept the concept of Shakti and Shaktiman, then the question will arise. So yeah, so then I got the answers. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, thank you. Okay, if there are no further questions, let us move forward to the next verse. So here Krishna says, Prakritim Swam Avashtabhya Visrijami Punah Punah Bhuta Gramam Imam Krishnam Avasham Prakritir Vashat. Being situated in Prakriti which belongs to me, I create again and again all the entities, which means through the agency of my material nature, through the agency of my external energy, I create. Therefore, I don't have to undergo transformation. That's what Krishna is communicating here. Then Krishna says in the next verse, Nachamam tani karmani nibadnanti dananjaya udasinavadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. So Krishna says, O Dananjaya, O conqueror of wealth, tani karmani, these activities of creation, maintenance and destruction which I am carrying out, nachamam nibadnanti, it does not bind me. It does not bind me. Why? Udasinavat asinam. Because I am situated like an indifferent party. I am situated like an indifferent party. Completely detached. Therefore, it does not bind me. Asaktam teshu karmasu. Being completely detached from these activities, unattached to these activities. So therefore, these activities do not bind me. Otherwise, in creating things, people get actually bound. Whatever they create, they become bound to it. But Krishna is completely detached from whatever he is creating. So therefore, he is not bound. Okay. But in the material world, this is not possible. That's why Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. Perceive this inconceivable potency of mind. In the material world, if someone is completely detached, they would not create anything. Okay. And whatever they create, it is only due to attachment. Therefore, there is always bondage, bound. Okay. But in terms of Krishna, he creates this universe very diligently without any attachment. Therefore, he is not bound. That's what Krishna says. So, Arjuna may ask, but then, since you do so much activity, how is it that you do not get bound like the jivas? The jivas, when they perform various activities, they get bound. How is it that you perform so many activities, but you don't get bound? So, this verse answers, activities like creation do not bind me. Bondage arises from attachment to action. But because all my desires are fulfilled spontaneously without having to act, I do not have attachment to action and have no bondage. Okay. I have no attachment to action because all my desires are automatically fulfilled. And where there is no attachment to action, there is no bondage. I am like an indifferent person who is not affected by the mixture of happiness and distress of quarreling parties. Udasinavat. So an udasina. Suhran mitrar yudasina. Madhyastha dvesha bandushu. Sadushu apicha papeshu samamuddhir vishishyate. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So who is that udasina? An udasina is someone who has nothing to do. So it is like a person who is passing through a cricket stadium where, let's say, Australia is playing Pakistan. Okay. Australia is playing Pakistan, but this person is from India. Neither is he attached to Australia, nor is he attached to Pakistan, and he has no interest in cricket also. Okay. So, he would just pass by that place as if that place does not exist only. Because uska kuch kaam ka nahi. You know, it has, there is nothing in it for him. Neither is he attached to the two teams which are playing, nor is he attached to the sport. So therefore, he is absolutely indifferent. So, so if neither will he be happy if someone hits a sixer, nor will he be very dejected if someone gets bowled. So there is, he is not affected by the mixture of happiness and distress of the quarreling parties. Okay, like that. So that's what Krishna is telling here in this verse. Nachavam tani karmani nibadnanti dananjaya udasinavad asinam asaktam teshu karmasu. So, but then since you do so much activity, how is it that you do not get bound like the jivas? I do not get bound like the jivas because bondage arises from attachment to action, and I do not have attachment to any of these actions. I am like an indifferent person who is not affected by the mixture of happiness and distress of the quarreling parties. So these are, Krishna is describing about his about his Srishti Leela, about his pastimes of creation, maintenance and destruction, and those qualities which really distinguish Krishna, distinguish the Supreme Personality of Godhead from everything else, from all the other common jivas. And this is something that jiva has to hear and understand very clearly in order to nourish the service attitude towards Krishna. Because Krishna is not an ordinary living entity. Because unless we understand, assimilate, and appreciate this inconceivably exalted nature of Krishna, when we prematurely get into Krishna's personal leela in Vrindavan, which are very much human-like, we may take those leela very cheaply. We may take all those pastimes very cheaply. So therefore, it is very, very important that that these aspects, this inconceivable Aishwarya, opulent potency of Krishna is very clearly understood, especially with respect to the functioning of this observable universe. Even in the functioning of this observable universe, Krishna or the Krishna's Purusha avataras who are involved in the creation, maintenance and destruction of this observable universe, they possess lot of qualities which are actually inconceivable. And understanding this is very critical. Understanding this is very critical in order to develop a proper understanding of Krishna's personal pastimes using his internal potency. Because those pastimes look very much human-like, and there is a very good chance that we may actually misunderstand Krishna. So therefore, these verses are very, very critical in helping to understand Krishna's inconceivable Aishwarya. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Ask. Okay, there are some questions in the chat box. Some questions, some hands up. Let's see. We can say that the Lord is inconceivable because to conceive spiritual things, we need to have spiritual vision. But devotees have spiritual transcendental vision. So they should be able to conceive him in the material world. Okay, this is a very good point. Okay. Many times, there are certain things. Devotees, how do they conceive Krishna? Conceiving anything comes with some level of acceptance. Even though many things of this world we do not conceive, we cannot conceive, but we accept it actually. And when we start accepting things, we think as if it is conceivable to us. For example, mother gives milk to the child. Mother gives milk to the child. And as soon as mother gives birth to a child, she starts lactating. So, even though how exactly it happens may be inconceivable to most of us. Okay. How this happens may be inconceivable to most of us. But at some point, there is acceptance. And then we act as if it is very conceivable to us. Ah, okay, na. She has given birth, so naturally milk will come. Na? So as if the science is very clear to us. Actually, the science is not clear to us. So when devotees also start understanding Krishna, lot of that understanding stems from accepting the inconceivable nature of Krishna. So the devotees can understand Krishna does not mean many inconceivable aspects become conceivable to the devotees. It just means devotees are happy. Happy to observe how Krishna is inconceivable. That's all. So that does not mean if one is a devotee, suddenly everything which is inconceivable will become conceivable. What is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee? For a devotee, when he sees inconceivability in Krishna, he celebrates it. One more reason to celebrate, one more reason to more intensely worship Krishna. But when a non-devotee sees inconceivability, he says, look, I told you that all this God and all this thing is just a myth. See how illogical it is. Okay. So, therefore, it does not mean just because one becomes a devotee, everything inconceivable becomes immediately conceivable. It's not like that. Some aspects of it will become conceivable. Some aspects will remain inconceivable even for devotees. But what characterizes a devotee is that every inconceivable aspect is a chance for the devotee to celebrate and intensify his attachment to Krishna. Okay, that's the point. So it's not that when someone becomes a devotee, everything immediately becomes conceivable to the devotee. No. But a devotee, when something becomes conceivable, the devotee celebrates and intensifies his worship of Krishna. If something remains inconceivable, a devotee celebrates and intensifies his worship of Krishna. He just needs some excuse to celebrate Krishna's qualities and glories, name, form, qualities, past tense, whether it is conceivable or inconceivable for him. That is a devotee. Okay, next question. Given the understanding that everything runs by Krishna's will, not able to understand how Krishna is detached when he has the will to create, maintain, and annihilate. Okay, so now my question is, not able to understand, you say, right? That's exactly what Krishna is communicating here. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. look at this inconceivable potency of mine. So this is exactly what Shivakumar Prabhu is telling, that I am not able to understand how Krishna is detached when he has the will to create, maintain and annihilate. Right? So this is exactly what Krishna is telling. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. That it will be inconceivable. The inconceivability is expressed by the words, I am unable to understand here. That's exactly what Krishna is also telling. Pashyame yogam aishwaram. His inconceivable potency. Okay, there is another question. But one may feel disheartened to know that Krishna is not attached to us instead of feeling inspired. Yeah, I mean, Krishna's detachment Well, in one sense, the moment you are willing, just think about it carefully. The moment you are willing to understand this inconceivability of Krishna and putting an effort to understand this, it means you already have some attachment to Krishna. You already have that seed of devotion. And when you have that seed of devotion, Krishna is attached to you. He is not detached from you. He is detached from this material world. But the moment you become a devotee, Krishna is attached to you. And you will be interested in understanding the subject matter only if you have devotion. If you don't have devotion, then you will not try to understand this. And this will become all the more disheartening. That may be true. But if you are a devotee, then Krishna is attached to you. So why should it be disheartening to us? It won't be. Okay. Keshav Priya Mataji.
Prabhuji, this first line of Prabhuji, could you please elaborate, Prabhuji, like this first line, this slide?
Because all my desires are fulfilled spontaneously without having to act, I do not have attachment to action and have no bondage. So, bondage comes from attachment to results and attachment to action.
He means his material world, Prabhuji. What is it like? What does?
Let me complete.
Yeah.
So, because if you talk in between, then I will not be able to.
Sorry, Prabhuji. Sorry.
Because I will forget what I was talking.
Yeah, sorry.
So, bondage comes from attachment to action and attachment to results. So, Krishna is telling here, I am neither attached to actions because I don't have to act to get anything done. And I am not attached to results also. So, either ways, I am not bound because I am neither attached to actions because I am Satya Sankalpa. Whatever I want to done, just if by my desiring, everything will get done. I don't have to act. So if I don't have to act, then I don't have any attachment to that action. So neither am I attached to the goal, nor am I attached to the action. So there is no question of bondage to me. That's what it means.
Raji, but still the Jiva's free will is not, Krishna doesn't take that. So what Jivas, they apply the free will wrongly and they're not using the Lord's arrangement and they do so many calamities here. They do so many, that may affect the Lord, no, Prabhuji. Like Krishna may, like rest of the thing, he is the boss, but this free will, he never takes on his hand, no, Prabhuji. Because of that, only so many things are happening here. So that is the point I really want to understand, that other everything we may have control, but what I am going to add, Krishna will not interfere, no Prabhuji. It's my free will only I'm utilizing.
Yeah.
So sometimes at this stage of devotion, I may fall down. That may, will it not hurt Krishna, Prabhuji?
But at this stage of devotion, if you fall down, you have automatically become a devotee. No? So Krishna is attached to devotees.
Then it will affect, no, Prabhuji, that anything to devotees may affect him, no?
Yeah.
So he has a bondage for devotees alone.
Yeah.
Well, this statement is for material world creation alone, is it, Prabhuji?
Yes. Yes.
That's the point I wanted. Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Shyam Mukund Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Haribo?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, I just want to. I have one question, but first I just want to. I have observed that in the 10th chapter, when Lord says that I am super soul, then I am in among devotees, I am Prahlad. So, and in the end, he says, how much I can go on saying this with a single fragment, I pervade this entire universe. So, as you said, that to Arjuna becomes happy there. That, oh, the Lord to whom I am worshipping is such a great Lord. So, just reflecting on that, so we should become happy. Even to Muchukunda, when he asks that, where you have taken birth and what are your name? So, he said, God says that I have many names. Nobody is able to understand my glories. So we should become happy. The Lord to whom I am worshipping is such a great Lord. And Prabhuji, and my question is that in the morning Bhagavatam class now, Brahmaji is Narad Muni asking Brahmaji, see how you create and all that. So Brahmaji tells the truth that I am the secondary creator. So there, how to understand that Brahmaji is attached or not attached to this material creation after creating?
Well, Brahmaji is attached or not attached after creating. It depends on who that Brahma is. Sometimes that the Supreme Lord himself may come as Brahma if there is no qualified living entity. Sometimes it may be a pure devotee who may take up the position of Brahma. Sometimes it may just be a very pious soul who is taking up the post of Brahma. So, what kind of attachment will they have depends on who takes up the role of Brahma.
Yes, yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, one last question, Mother Gay.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, just following up your answer to one devotee just now. And you were saying that, well, Krishna is attached to his devotees. But isn't the lesson of Krishna leaving the rasa dance, right? Isn't that supposed to illustrate his opulence of renunciation? Even to his devotees, I don't know.
No, it's much more deeper than what we perceive it externally. Actually, it is the opposite. The most extreme form of love that Krishna sees is when there is a manifestation of the feelings of separation. So, Krishna leaving the gopis at the rasa dance is due to his intense attachment to the devotees with a desire to see their exceptional form of love, which manifests due to feelings of separation.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's wonderful. Wonderful explanation. Yeah. Okay. And just confirming, I think, an obvious point. You know, you were saying that Krishna is detached. No, he can he's not, how should I put this? When you were saying he was detached from actions. Because
he doesn't need to do anything to get what he wants. So therefore, he is detached from actions. But you also said that he is detached from, I think, the goal of the action.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's attached to the goal of the action because the goal of the action, well, two things. One is the goal of the action is something material, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he doesn't need anything in this material world for his satisfaction.
Correct.
Even in the spiritual world, mm-hmm. you know, he is Atmarama, right? So
yeah,
he doesn't need, I mean, can you say that he doesn't even need anything spiritual?
Atmarama means, I will give you the exact etymological meaning of Atmarama. Arama means to take pleasure. Atma means from the self. So Atmarama means one who takes great pleasure in the self. So now, what constitutes Krishna's self or his internal energy? You know, the whole spiritual world is a manifestation of his internal energy. So if he takes pleasure in all mm-hmm. the activities, personalities, everyone in the spiritual world, that does not compromise his Atmarama nature. That actually simplifies his Atmarama nature.
Yeah, because everything is a manifestation of his own self there.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Please do not drop out. I saw some devotees join late because you might have thought that the class starts at 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time. The timings for the Friday Bhagavad Gita sessions have changed. That's why so many times I send the reminders in the WhatsApp group. Please, at least sometimes do check your WhatsApp messages, especially if I'm sending them again and again. So henceforth, the Friday evening sessions will be from 7 to 9 p.m. It is not 8 to 9:30. Please remember, henceforth, 7 to 9 p.m. Indian Standard Time. So, those of you who are attending Jaiva Dharma, it is the same time. Or Krishna Smarana Spurti, it is the same time. And very soon, Thursday also will start a new course, that will also be from 7 to 9 p.m. So that Monday to Friday, our morning, afternoon, evening sessions will all be at exact same time. Morning session will be 7:15 to 8:30. Afternoon session will be 12 to 2. And evening session will be 7 to 9. Monday to Friday. All sessions will be at the same time. So just reminding you, next Friday, please do remember to join at 7 p.m. Indian Standard Time and not 8 p.m. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.